Kia ora koutou katoa. Welcome to Showtime Balling NZ, Aotearoa's basketball podcast. We just got this episode right here. It's all around about our, you know, up-and-comers, our young flyers. He's doing some great things. He is obviously, he's definitely Hawke's Bay's very own, but man, he is a product of hard work and goals personified. Kahu Treacher, welcome to the show.
Kia ora koutou katoa. Thank you for having me, coach.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming on to my episode for this. And like I said again, we've got a unique past with ourselves. And thank you very much for giving up your time, especially where it's getting close to time to leave.
Yeah, leave in like 2 days, 3 days. So it's getting about that time, getting ready to go back. Just taking this mahi in.
All right then, this is a simple question we always start off with. Represent who you are and where you're from.
Kia ora koutou, ko kauran ki tōku ingoa. I was born in Auckland, but I've been living here in Hawke's Bay for the last 10 years and doing basketball in the US at the moment.
Kia ora, yeah, also, you know, we've had that, like I said, with that past with ourselves and our coaching and within the basketball scene, but we're all here about to talk about your journey and your story and where it's going to take you. So, well, first and foremost, so just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, like I said before, I was born in Auckland. Moved here in Napier, Hawke's Bay, when I was about 7 years old. Been living here, been playing basketball since I can remember. I always remember just dad training me and just playing basketball by dad's side all the time. And it kind of planted the seed for what I now want to do, which is go to the NBA and make basketball a career.
Yes, and I know a lot of kids back in the day go, oh, yeah, I want to play in the NBA, that's the goal, but it can be a reality nowadays.
Yes, it really can. It's surreal that hopefully in the next, like, few years that I could really be in the NBA. It's really surreal.
Cool. So let's talk about the storyline first off. Where did the passion for the game of basketball specifically start for you?
Well, it started off when I was young, and I remember watching men's league games that my dad was playing. So I remember I would just be sitting on the sideline watching my dad play. I guess, yeah, that's where you could say it all started. And dad said he also had me playing with the basketball outside of my little hoop since I was like 2 years old. So it's always kind of been there in my back corner. And then I took a break from it for a few years. Actually, I started to play rugby for quite a while and got pretty good at that. But it was actually the warm environment of basketball. I got sick of the cold in rugby, and then once I found basketball again and I found out it was warm, I started playing that more and then kind of took off from there.
Yeah, hey, look, I know we're talking about your dad. Let's speak a little bit about him. He's an amazing man, but there's probably one person that could probably describe Chris Treacher better is obviously yourself.
Yeah, man, like I say all the time, my dad's my hero. Like, he's the man I've looked up to for my whole entire life. Like, I always looked to him for... when he's leading by example, look to him for advice, and just dad really is a person that will put his needs behind for someone else's needs. Whether you've known him for ages or known him for a little bit, he always has your best interests at heart, and he's a really selfless person, and I love my dad heaps.
Absolutely. So it's a little bit of context around obviously Chris Treacher. He does a fantastic job within the strength and conditioning space, but also mentorship as well. So he's obviously the trainer for the Hawks. Was it be a football team as well?
I believe he played. Coached. Was a strength and conditioning coach for Hawks Bay United, I think it was, the soccer team. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he's thrashed me a couple of times. Some tough battles, but he definitely knows how to push and motivate. And also with your mother as well. She does a great job around her mahi as a presenter. Can you speak a little bit about your mum? And I know she's a massive supporter too.
Most definitely. My mum's my number one supporter. So she has her own business. She does videography. She takes all my videos. She goes and does interviews with the local networks here. In New Zealand, she just goes around making her own vids and just, I'd say, like, she really enjoys being creative and just finding a job that she was able to be creative in and something that she enjoys is just, it's been really good for her.
Ka pai, obviously, and the siblings as well?
They're annoying.
Nah,
I love my sisters very much, you know. My sister Waimarie, she's very creative. She takes after mum. She's like an artist now. She's only 13, but man, the things she draws is just, it's crazy. Manua, you know, she's very sporty. I can really see her doing some type of professional sports in the near future. And yeah, they're, I love my sisters very much too.
Yeah, and we'll do a bit of a plug later, obviously, around the apparel that you guys are working on. And I think there's a bit of a fundraiser attached to that as well, because, you know, some of these dreams don't pay for themselves. You know what I mean, eh? But that's all cool. But yeah, quickly, or actually, we'll speak about that at the moment.
So my sister just recently launched their new, like, merch apparel called Sun and Moon. I don't know how they got that name, but it's pretty cool. And yeah, they make crew necks, hoodies, I believe. They're going to start making shirts soon. But at the moment, we've got a fundraiser going for me to help me with my Junior Tall Blacks competition over in Papua New Guinea. We make hoodies. If you want to get some, you know, just pre-order them at Sun and Moon. They're pretty tough. But so we've got that going at the moment, and yeah.
Yeah, tautoko and support wherever you can, whānau. Yeah, let's get into the basketball scene. Obviously, for us, you know, we connected around about, not just about Hawke's Bay and obviously academies, but with Hastings Boys. Your journey starting from there. So when did the mindset for you shift to say, look, I want to go college? If that's, I don't know. Well, talk us through those processes.
Yeah. So I believe the mindset probably in year 9, year 10, those early years when I was like, was I 13? Yeah, I was about 13. And I had spoken to mum about it and dad, and we had created like a timeline of events of how we'd like things to go. And obviously, you know, in life, things never go as planned. But that I'd say that's where it all started. And then I'd be like, yeah, I really want to make this a reality. And then we went and looked at routes and we found college. And I was like, yes, at the moment, this is something I really want to do.
Yeah, because I just shared with you a moment in time when we went to support a lead scholarships with Chris Vaughan. He came to Hawke's Bay, and we were looking at the avenues on what it actually takes to go there. And I just remember you and your dad right up there in the front row, and with your notebook, and you know, writing away key information. And you know, I mean, I know that it's like you guys were really good in your attention to detail. So yeah, that's where I thought, you know, like that's where it was kind of, you know, that information where they started.
Yeah, most definitely. My dad's always been the type of person to pay very close attention to detail, and he's always instilled it in me to kind of like break things down and to always have a plan. At the moment, I'm still struggling with having a plan. But now my dad, like I said, he's just been there every step of the way.
Yeah, I think plan for me, for you, is probably, you know, taking every day by day, and is in every step by step. And that is, as I said, I believe you probably would have, you know, goal setting, goal planning. I know you're pretty big on that.
Yes, most definitely. I think it was, like I said before, I think I was like 11 or 10. And we wrote on this, on the back of a school sheet, was like a little timeline of all things I want to do and all the distractions and everything that comes with it. And like each of these goals, the things it's going to take to get there, the distractions that might come along the way, and just have to be disciplined and consistent enough to continue to work at that goal and to be disciplined enough to push away the distractions. So goal setting has been a very important thing in my journey.
Yeah, well, mindset-wise, like when you talk about pushing aside distractions, because I know you're one that do that quite well at the moment. What is the process around pushing past distractions?
Just kind of knowing what what those distractions lead to. So for as long as I can remember, I've never had the desire to kind of go out to like parties and things like that. Don't get me wrong, there's a fun times, but I think I've always been drilled on what I want. And I just know that from what my parents have told me and what I've experienced is that these things are only good for like the short term, and they're just not going to help you in the long term to achieve what you want to achieve. So I always just think about like, yeah, well, is this going to help me in the long term, or was it just going to be a temporary thing?
No, that's awesome, Kōrero. So yeah, so let's say, rewind ourselves, you know, when we shared the sideline with each other, obviously with Akina times, and you know, the decision from, you know, for the short time you were there, what was the plan and process and thoughts shifting to where you did eventually go to in New Zealand, up to Auckland?
I'm not too sure. So we were just kind of, we're here at Akina. Those were very fun times, made some really good friends there. And we kind of just seen that lots of people were leaving, and then we had many kōrero with other coaches, and then we seen opportunities that had risen in Auckland, and just we had whānau and everything down there, so we're like, this, we believe that in order for me to continue to grow in this game, one of the best possible move for me at the time was to go to Auckland Grammar. So yeah, that's what it was at the time.
So yeah, that was another like a pit stop along the way on the journey. Just talk a little bit of time. You went there obviously with Coach Lindsay, Tate, legend of the game. Just explain your time there.
I was a really great 7 months I was there, man. Like, I learned so much from Coach Lindsay, not only on the court but off the court as well, and how to hold yourself, and to how to be presentable off the court, but on the court as well. I learned how to get that dog in me, like, because I've always been really humble, but on the court while I was there with Lindsay, I learned how to just kind of get that killer instinct, that like as you say, like Mamba mentality, just to kind of push all the way through. I learned many ins and outs of the games, and I made some really lifelong brothers there as well.
Yeah, no, awesome. Yeah, Auckland Ball, it's big, it's huge. And so after that, where do we go to there?
So we went to Washington, D.C. I was fortunate enough and blessed enough to have landed a spot at St. Albans, located in Washington, D.C., which is a great school, surrounded by great AAU programs, which is kind of like rep programs here in New Zealand. I was able to play for one of the best AAU programs there, and just being able to play in that American style is more than enough to help get me prepared to go to college.
Yeah, actually rewinding it back, so I remember like your body went for a bit of a transformation, right? Like the like when you were at Akina, you were at a certain side, but then you just been boof. Like there was a massive growth spurt. And along the way, do you feel that helped contribute to the game and style that you play?
Oh, most definitely. I think it was over lockdown actually. When we went into lockdown, the amount of extra sleep I was getting, like, I remember I went up from like 6'1" to 6'3". And then the second lockdown, I grew to like 6'5".
Yeah.
And then, it just went upwards from there. And it definitely helped contribute to the way I play today.
Yeah, so what was the considerable factors of you actually going to DC? Like, was there any other places in the frame, or was it always there?
Yeah, we had some other schools interested. But some of the key factors were, it's a really great academic school. It's actually like the third best academic school in the country, in all of America. So that was definitely a key factor. We had whānau over there, like my auntie Crystal. She's helped me so much. Like, she's my mom's best friend, and she's just helped make the transition much easier. Like I said, the AAU programs that I was able to play with, and just overall, the environment of the school, knowing that I was going to be taken care of off the court as well, is very important to us.
Absolutely, because I've heard a lot of stories, a lot of other people on podcast episodes and in talking. You've got to do your homework around where you're going, and geographically it's got to fit. And if you've got support over there, which is massively helpful, because you are going, it's not like you're going over to Aussie, you're going halfway across the other side of the world. And, you know, I know, technology, because you can keep in contact with whānau, but when you got someone there to help you grounded and keep you connected, that's very important.
Yes, most definitely. Being able to stay grounded in those type of situations and stay connected is definitely important.
Yeah, so talk about the transition from style of play, first off, around from New Zealand to the American style.
Yeah. So I'd probably say like the biggest transition for me was, and like the biggest difference was definitely the speed of the game. Like, just the way they pushed the ball over there, just how fast they moved was absolutely crazy when I first went there. Like, I remember we're doing training, we had like a 3-on-3 scrimmage, and there was like one of my friends there, he's a guard, and I guess I kind of underestimated him because he got the ball and I went to close out, and man, he just bolted past me. Like, I was so shocked just how quick he went, and then that's when I knew. I was like, man, I gotta change. It took me a little while, took me about a month to probably get used to it, and once I did, I was away. So
Yeah, because that's funny you say that, because as of dad, would obviously been working with you, because I think one key thing is for kids that are thinking about going over there, you've got to condition yourself. You can't just go over there thinking you're basketball fit and just go, oh, yeah, I'm all good, I'm going to survive. You might get away with it for a little bit, but yeah. I think you have to be conditioned, because they lift quite a lot over there, and the training regimes over there is so much different. And if you're not used to that, you might take you ages to get used to that.
I'd say it's borderline unhealthy. just the amount of times we train. Like, so as a team, we train 5 days a week, except for on game days, obviously. Pre-season, we probably lift 3 to 4 times a week. In season, it's about 1 to 2. And yeah, like, when I was here, when I was preparing to go over to the States for the first time, like, I was pretty fit. I was pretty fit. And I was talking to Dan, like, yeah, we think that I'm prepared to play over in the States. And then when I got there, coach was like, oh, yep, you're pretty fit. We need more. So he thrashed me. We were always on the track during preseason, and then got me to the point where I was conditioned enough to be able to compete at the highest level.
So, yeah, so if you were to say a little bit of advice to those who are listening on this episode that have ambitions and goals, who probably maybe year 9, year 10, whatever, rather, is that one of the things you'll say to them? Go get fit, but fitness and conditioning is two different things.
Yes, most definitely. So fitness, like, you have to stay fit. Like, you have to be able to build that engine to be able to, like, last long. So how dad explains it to me is, you want to build up a V8 engine, which is like the long distance running first at the start of preseason, and then by the end of it, you want to put it into a mini coupe, and you just want to build that want about a sprint for long amounts of time. So when you build that engine, that V8 engine, and put it in a mini coupe, you're able to sprint for ages. So I'd say fitness is definitely important, and like conditioning. Being well conditioned is kind of being able to adjust to your environment, I would say. Like, you have to be able to be well conditioned to your environment in terms of how fast they play, how physical they play, and all those things will help you decide how to build your body.
Yeah, because they're monster athletes over there, right?
Monster athletes.
They jump out the building.
They jump out the building. Yes, they do. Like, I had some of my friends on my AAU team. They were just crazy. I think it was the first time where it was actually like 5 or 7 of us that could dunk. Like, and not just the rim grade, like, we could dunk.
Legit, flame it.
Yeah.
Take us into the trainings, the competitive nature of it. What is it like? Give us a little bit of insight.
So we usually, one thing I noticed at the start of when I first got there was that we scrimmage a lot. We scrimmage so much, and it's always game-like situations. It's not just run this drill. Run this drill, and this is how you would do it in the game. And how else does it go? It's just like, I'd say the competitiveness of it is like, we argue all the time. Like, me and my boys, like, we're boys off the court, but when we get on the court in training, like, we're enemies. If we ain't on the same team, we're enemies. And like, we just go at each other's throats, like. But then once that's done, once we're off the court, we're back to being friends. So
yeah, because that's probably, I was going to segue into this, you know, talking about the mental side of things, like the mental well-being, what sort of capacity do you have to be, and how do you guard yourself amongst that, and just understanding that, you know, there's a single purpose to because you're fighting for spots and positions and your place on the court, because obviously you're in, particularly in Hawke's Bay, kind of get a bit safe, like, you know, I don't have to go too hard out because I know I'm all good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you take us around there, the mental well-being of how you approach things.
So I'd say for me personally, I have to really take care of my mental well-being. Obviously, being halfway across the world away from my family, it definitely does take a toll on your mental health. But being able to, one thing I've worked on is meditation, and being able to do that consistently. I still have trouble with doing it consistently, but it truly does help. And just being able to have that belief, being able to have that peace, being able to have that confidence in yourself really does help the mental well-being of sides, and allows you to be fully prepared.
You know, the question is, have there been times when you're like, hey, man, I don't know if I can do this? You know, has there been any doubts that's ever shadowed? And like that, that's nothing to be shameful about. And that's nothing to, you know, alleviate, because everyone can go for that time and peace. So, yeah, is there any times that it has happened? And when it did happen, how did you deal with it?
I'd be lying if I say I didn't have any times like that. I've had many occasions where I'm just like, bro, I just want to go home. I don't want to do this anymore. But, one thing that really helped me was talking to my dad, actually. I always talked to mom or dad, and they would just help me realize that in order to get where I need to be, this is the place where I have to be. So just helping me fight through that has been really key for me.
Because it's a massive topic, and obviously statistically it's not good for us in Aotearoa. But, yeah, it's because the mind will take your body wherever it needs to go.
Most definitely. Like, if you're mentally weak, then you become, like, physically weak. Because you just can't, like, it's like you kind of can't handle it. And if you're able to handle it mentally, you're able to give yourself that extra push and also about to give yourself the extra edge over your competitors.
Nice. Okay, then. Yeah, because, yeah, definitely, I know, yeah, you got to fight for what you, because you go over there, like, there's a diamond dozen of guys over there. Like, you can be replaced just like that. Your coach that you were in Washington, what's the mentality and change? What have you noticed from that sort of style of coaching versus style of coaching here?
It's much more aggressive over there. I get yelled at so much. Yes, but like it definitely comes from a place of love. Like, it's definitely hard coaching, and you just get yelled at all the time. It's just, I'd say, like, how would I explain it? The style of coaching is just that you need to be on point. I would say, like, you really need to be on point. If you're not on point, like, you run. You end up running. So and they really drill it into you that this is in order to get where you want to get, this is what you got to do. So yeah, I'd probably say that's probably the difference.
Yeah, definitely. As like I said, you know, people are interchangeable, you know. They can get someone just like that, and no, but I know mentally you got to adjust yourself, physically you got to adjust yourself. Yeah. That's probably the main key things, I suppose, as well, because the skills will come.
Yeah, almost definitely. If you put the work in, like, the skills will come. It's inevitable. Like, you put the hard work in, it's going to happen.
Nice. Okay, so and you had a massive opportunity just recently, and I was pretty pumped and excited to see one of our Hawke's Bay whānau in amongst that. The NBA basketball veil borders.
Yes, I could definitely say 100% that was the best camp or like basketball trip I've ever been on.
Yeah. So how did that opportunity come apart?
I believe I was nominated by Basketball New Zealand. That's kind of how it started. Once I found out I got nominated, I was like, wow, like, this is crazy that I've been nominated for. Like, I didn't even get the position to about to go there, but just knowing that I've been nominated was really cool. And then a couple of weeks later, mum and dad rang me, told me they got the email, and told me that I'm going to the United Arab Emirates in Abu Dhabi, which is, like, near Dubai.
Yeah. How cool was that place?
It was crazy. Just like, because I landed in Dubai and I had to take like a 2-hour drive to Abu Dhabi, and just driving through Dubai was something crazy. Else. Just the amount of, just how the buildings are built. It's so crazy. Just how clean it looks and how everything is, it's a surreal place.
So yeah, let's go. Obviously, when your ultimate dream in life is to go towards the NBA, and this is a little bit of a, you know, an opportunity pathway to NBA. Talk about the experience and how it was for you.
Oh, it was the best experience, you know. I think it was like 4 or 5 days where literally all you're doing is playing basketball, hanging out with friends, eating and sleeping. Like that's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. And it was wake up early. I think it was like 8 a.m. wake ups, 7 a.m. wake ups. And then we go have breakfast, and then we're off to the gym straight away, go play ball for like 6 hours, you know. We're fortunate enough to have some NBA players there. There's Monte Morris, Taj Gibson, Sadiq Bey, and just all those type of guys there. Sadiq Bey was my coach for my team. Like, we got split up into teams. And Sadiq Bey was my coach. He was his cool ass. And just the,
you guys exchange information, like, bro, I got, you know, anytime can I, you know, pick your brain?
Yeah, like, we did. I spoke to him. He actually went to a school called Sidwell, and that's literally 5 minutes away from St. Albans. And I told him, I was like, Sadiq, did you go to Sidwell? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, I go to St. Albans. He's like, whoa, for real? And, yeah, now we got to talk about that, and that was really cool. But also, going back to the basketball side of things, like, you were just the amount of confidence that they bring you, that they give to you is crazy. I was fortunate enough to be able to make the All-Star team, which was the top 10 players at the camp, and that was a result of the confidence that not only the coaches but my teammates also instilled in me. And just the vibe of the whole camp was really cool.
Yeah, nice. Only the slick few that can even go to those sort of things, and it's cool to end up, you know, proud of you from a Kahanunu standpoint. That's an awesome opportunity. NBA without borders. What was some of the key learnings that you got from that that experience?
Probably I'd say some of the key things is to have confidence in yourself. Like, I know I was just speaking about it, but I feel like confidence is definitely the most important thing. And I was also to learn like heaps of reads, like, you know, all the technical stuff of the game, different types of reads, different types of ways you could like attack screens, different type of ways you attack the basket. But definitely the main thing was your confidence. And that, for me personally, that really sprouted in the camp. So
yeah, because you can't, no one can teach confidence to you. You've got to be something that comes with you, and you've got to stand out from the rest. And yeah, like I said, it's quite a it's a global kind of thing. Like, obviously, the NBA borders, like, different nationalities there. Yes. Anyone that you've been connecting up with still lately?
Yeah, most definitely. Like, I got my boy, Mohammed, from Oman. Shout out to him.
Cool. Awesome. That's great to hear around that NBA of our borders. And obviously, hopefully, there's more NBA opportunities in the future, which we most definitely hopefully see. So we've come back home now. Anything that you noticed? Do you get a bit homesick?
Oh, I get homesick all the time. It was definitely really hard for like the first month when I first went over. Homesickness was very tough. But once I met my friends, met my brothers, you know, they made it much easier.
Yeah. So what's, obviously, is there any other Māori boys walking around your campus when you're over there?
No. I'm pretty sure I'm the first Māori to ever go to St. Albans. So, which is a kind of crazy title to have. But yeah, like, I get mixed up with so many different races when I get over there. Like, some people thought I was like mixed. Some people thought I was like Latino. Some people thought I was white. Like, it was crazy. Like, some people didn't even know what like a Māori was. I was like, I have to explain it to them.
Yeah, like, I think for me, you know, when we went over to there for Polder's academy, they thought we were over there to play rugby, and when they were like, no, we're over there to play basketball. Like, basketball, like, they just really flipped out.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, why? What's wrong with that? So yeah, so we can play this game as well. They were really admiring of our culture and who we are. Yeah,
most definitely. Like, something I always get asked about is my tāmoko. Like, I love explaining my tāmoko and what it means to me, what it means to my whānau, and just the significance that it has to know, to me, but my culture as well. So I always love talking about that and talking about my Māori tanga.
Yeah, no, our culture is so beautiful, and the opportunity to, you know, showcase it through tāmoko and kōrero as well. And yeah, it's beautiful to take our culture across there. Yeah, that's what I said. Not much Māori boys have been walking around that campus, so ka whai. So you've come home. What's one thing you've noticed from going from there, the teachers you come here, to when you come here?
What do you mean in terms of?
When you're like, so you've gone there for a little bit, had a little time in America, Did home look a little bit different to you? When you even like reconnecting into the basketball scene as well?
Yeah. Yes, it looks so different, but it's so good being back home. one thing that I definitely missed was the food. Oh my gosh. I love the food here. It's just, it's so amazing. All the fried bread, the boil up.
Yeah. Get there.
But yeah, those are some things I missed. But coming back into the basketball scene, it's just so good to see all my friends, you know, see them playing. Like, I got to see my boy Robbie playing last night. Got to see Ihai and all of them. It was so good just to reconnect with them and to just see them playing again.
Absolutely. Whānau and friends are always going to be there, and it's good to see. And just what I was trying to say is that, you know, we are, like, the teachings you got from, you know, you've culminated, you know, always gathering in new ways of playing and new skills, and just seeing how the pace of the game is nowadays and how you're reading it different.
Oh, yeah, I read it much different. Like, just seeing, like, the defensive positions, like, seeing how I believe, like, oh, yeah, this person should be here, this person should be there. Like, I feel like I can I can analyze the game much different on the sideline compared to when I first, compared to before I left the first time. So, yeah, I definitely see the game much different now.
Always key learnings and always growing, always moving forward. All right, so, man, another big step for you, currently getting chosen for the NZ team. Speak about that process, where'd that come from?
I was lucky enough to go work out with Coach Matt Lacey for spring break back in March. You know, I was able to see Ezra Eagle, Ryan Hunt, all of them again. And it was cool just to work out with them again. We had heaps of cordial with Coach Matt. And after all those workouts and things like that, after you saw all those type of things, I was able to get a spot on the team. And we just got back from our training camp a couple of weeks ago, and that was so cool. The vibe of the team feels so good. You know, it was good to see everyone play together. And, you know, there's no beef between anyone or anything like that. You know, we all just get along really well.
Mm.
And I really am excited to play with my brothers. So.
Yeah, well, you've done some amazing things prior to, you know, going over to the States, going to NBA without borders, but probably one of the most prideful things is actually representing your country.
Yes.
And and there's no more greater honor than that.
Most definitely, just being able to wear the black jersey, being able to represent my country, Aotearoa, that's surreal. It's so crazy that a select few people really ever get to do that, is to represent their country as something that they love.
Mm.
So being able to say that I did that is it's really cool.
Yeah, no, I definitely had to get this episode in before because you're going to be flying out very, very soon. So talk about your next couple of or your next week or so, what's that looking like?
Yeah, so my next week, I fly out in 3 days, 2 days. And basically it's basically straight back into school. I land on a Saturday night. Probably going to sleep all of Sunday from being jet lagged and then go back to the dorm on Monday and just get ready for the next school year.
Yeah. Okay. So what does that look like? Does your role change or does it stay the same or what does it look like?
I'd say overall it kind of stays the same in regards to the school side of things, but we have new players joining our school team, so being able to be a role model for them is going to be really key. But overall, I'd say I'm well accustomed to everything now, so I think nothing should be too different from my last year of high school. So,
yeah, nice, neat. So off to PNG, to represent NZs. What are you looking forward towards here?
Just being able to play with my boys again. We just had an article written about me and Ezra Eagle, and just going to be able to play with him again. We've been friends, been playing basketball together since under 13s.
Mm.
So, and after this year or two of not playing together, being able to wear the black singlet together and represent our country on the same court is so cool.
Big is another one of a big engine, a big motor, and a big heart too.
Yep.
It's good that we don't have one, but we have two.
Mm.
Representation, obviously, in Hawke's Bay to go and represent Aotearoa, New Zealand. I think what I'm probably didn't talk about AAU. Mm. I know that's kind of like a style here, but talk about AAU. Actually, what does that look like over there?
AAU, we're playing, it's kind of like club basketball, if you will. So we out there training twice a week, training together, and we're basically going to as many tournaments as we can to get as much exposure as we can in front of college coaches, in front of other organizations, and basically you're just playing as much as you can, really, just to get your name out there. So I'd say AAU basketball is much different to school basketball.
Mm.
I feel like in AAU basketball, you seem to get a little bit more freedom in terms of how you can play. And just, so that's a different level, I believe, too, because everyone that plays AAU is kind of on the same boat as you. In your school team, you got people that like playing basketball for fun.
Mm.
And you get that in AAU as well, but when you're playing in the top AAU circuits, everyone wants to go to college, everyone wants to go to the NBA, everyone wants to go play professional. So I'd probably say those are the main things with AAU.
Let's talk about you personally around your game. How do you describe your game, and do you model your game against anyone in particular, for example, like a NBA or even a tall black or whoever other, anything like that?
So I'd say for me personally, I feel like I'm very versatile. I feel like I can play all positions, 1 through 5. And I'd say modeling wise, I like to model my game after like Kevin Durant, because I feel like we're both tall, lanky, can shoot the ball, can handle the ball, can play big when you need to, can play guy when you need to. And I just say overall my game is, it's just being versatile, being able to exploit mismatches when I can. And it's about, just being able to exploit mismatches as much as I can.
Cool. So, you know, you got to put your, you know, do all you can possibly do for this year, because 2024 is a big year for you. What does that look like? Is there any planning or foresight that you've looked into around what the next step looks like?
College is probably the main thing right now. Just trying to get my name out there to more colleges, because at the moment I've got one Division I offer, and just trying to get my name out there furthermore to get a couple more Division I offers would be the ideal situation.
That's cool, bro. Like, getting a D1 offer is massive, and obviously you can't say, don't say who it is. That's all good.
I got it from Coastal Carolina. Right. Yeah, they're they're located in Southern Carolina, so I was fortunate enough to about to land there.
Cool. That'd be awesome. Nice. I don't know, there are probably more opportunities and offers that'll probably come as you get your name out there. So that's cool. So what else is there in the coming features after, obviously, high school?
At the moment, I'm really not too sure. It's just kind of locking down on college right now, I'd say, is the main thing. Just kind of get a degree. Hopefully get to the NBA.
Yeah, well, that's what you talked about, your education. Because when we first started talking about the journey, you said, educational side, because that's massively important, right?
Yeah, most definitely. Education always comes first. That's when the saying goes, it's student, athlete, not athlete, student. So being able to take care of your academics is really important.
Yeah, because a lot of kids have this dream of like, I'm just going to go play hoops and I'm going to keep balling. But then sometimes, you got to have this, because you got to have, if you're on a scholarship, right, you got to service your scholarship academically for your athletic obligations.
Yeah, so you have to, you have to be able to have your grades right, you have to have good grades. But I feel like it's definitely not impossible to go to college specifically based on your sport, but like in order to do that you have to be like a Zion Williamson or something like that, and that's not to say you can't be, but academics is most definitely really important. Definitely makes it easier.
Awesome, man, this has been a cool episode and opportunity to sit down and chat with you, and also catch up before you take off. And I know, because there's a lot of other whānau, both male and whānau, male and female, that are over there at the moment, like our boy Denim. And I know you and D, you guys kind of bounce off each other over a little bit of period of time. Speak about our party kick of follow over there.
Yeah, man, Denim Tualafata, that's my dog, that's my boy. Like, for like 3 years, two, 3 years, we were just working every summer, every preseason. It's always just us, me, him, and Dad. We're working as much as we can. Like, Denim really is, he's one of the hardest workers I've ever met. Like, Denim is just, and he's such a kind heart as well. Like, Denim's my boy, and I really see him going far.
Yeah, and that's what I said. So proud of the journey you used to have actually taken, and it's kind of almost been parallel, like side by side, and you guys working hard next to each other. But as we round up this episode, a couple of questions to take us out. Main one is, gratitude. I know you're a very grateful young man. What's the one of the main things that you're grateful for?
Obviously, I'm really grateful for my family. I'm grateful for Heavenly Father. I can definitely say without my family, without Heavenly Father, I wouldn't be where I am today. Obviously, I'm grateful for basketball. And one thing, I'm really grateful for is cookies.
Cookies.
I'm really grateful for cookies as well.
Good time. Awesome. Yeah, because definitely, I know you're a man of faith as well, and things happen for a reason. And that orange bouncy ball, man, it can take you places.
It's actually crazy. I've been to like 4 different countries because I can put a ball through a hoop. It's so crazy where it can take you.
Yeah, like it's a pretty simple game. That's it. Put a ball in a hoop, stop other people putting a ball in a hoop. But there's a beauty amongst that game, and there's a lot of life lessons that it can instill in. And like I said, it's the connectivity of the game, and it just keeps going.
Yes, most definitely.
Cool. The parting words for the young ones, this is your opportunity to kind of reach out and to say, hey, this is me, this is, and unapologetically or whatever, Arvin, you know, what's your parting words of advice?
I would say it's just stay consistent. Don't worry about anyone else. Don't compare yourself to others. Everyone's on their own timeline. You should just stay consistent with what you do, and your hard work will come to fruition.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that because a lot of kids or a lot of people might just get too caught up around the external things that they can't control, like others, what they think and what they feel and how they feel that you should be, and you know, staying true to yourself, right?
Yes, hard.
Awesome. Kahu, awesome, my boy. You know, like, go over there and conquer the world, conquer them within your own space and time. You know, home is always here for you, but, man, you got to get out of here. There's a whole world out there for you to go and do what you can do.
Yeah, most definitely. Thank you so much, Coach Ngami.